Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's been 99 years since the sun last went out in the continental United States, and 26 years since the last solar eclipse darkened Hawaii in 1991. But on Monday, August 21st, the glorious totality returns, slashing through the country from Oregon to South Carolina. Millions of people will be staring skyward as the sun goes dark on Monday, including many of you.
This is Martha from St. Louis.
This is Nate Surrey from Westfield, New Jersey.
Hi, this is Robert in Miami.
This is Jenna Lawson from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, my name's Parker. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm a sixth grade teacher. We will be taking our students out right before lunch, as the totality will be about 90% then.
I'll be traveling from Rhode Island, Greenville, South Carolina. It's about 900 miles just to see the eclipse.
We're in the zone of totality, and my kids are off school that day. We plan to experience the eclipse straight from the front yard, quite simply.
You guys are excited for this. Of course, it wasn't always so. Eclipses are fun and predictable now, but for most of history, they were harbingers of doom. But solar eclipses have also provided key moments for scientific advancement for humans. John Dvorak is author of Mask of the Sun, The Science, History, and Forgotten Lore of Eclipses. According to John, humans have been trying to understand the solar eclipse for as long as the moon has been passing between them and the sun.
There was a real need to try and predict these things. All cultures are interested in watching the motion of the sun and the moon. Most, if not all cultures, are interested in trying to predict where these things are going to be. And that means that they have a great interest in trying to predict not only the passing of the seasons, but even when there's going to be an eclipse. Because if something up in the sky seems to be going wrong, people start wondering about the rulers and so forth. And the rulers are worried about, is there something which they're supposed to do? Is there a ritual I'm supposed to do?
The rulers start worrying about their own well-being. I mean, you write about that even in the Catholic Church, which we sort of associate with the rejection of magic and astrology. Popes in the 1500s were terrified of eclipses, thinking it spelled doom for their own lives.
Oh, yes, that's true. As we get back to the 17th century and earlier, astrology was part of your life. And of course, in the church, watching the sun and the moon was very important. It was a direct connection right there. And in the history of the Catholic Church, this whole thing about magic, sorcery, and of astrology was commonplace. But an eclipse changed all of that.
You write about something that you call Einstein's error, the most important eclipse in history. Talk about that.
The most important total solar eclipse happened in May 1919. Let's step back. 1919, we'll go back 4 years, 1915. Einstein has just released his general theory of relativity. And as a result of that, he says the space-time concept, space is actually curved, and he makes this outrageous forecast, this outrageous prediction that starlight, when it passes a massive object, does not go in a straight line, but it actually curves. When starlight passes near a massive object like the sun, it will actually bend a bit. And he actually made a way to check this. He said, if you look during a total solar eclipse, when the sky is dark and you can see stars, the position of those stars will be a little different than during times when there wasn't a sun nearby, and that would be the effect of the deflection of starlight. Well, 1919 total solar eclipse, it was confirmed, and literally overnight, Einstein becomes a worldwide celebrity. The second big impact is that it completely changed our idea of scientific truth. And that comes from a philosopher of science. He was Karl Popper. He was very young at the time, and he heard Einstein give a lecture in Vienna. And he was working on this problem in philosophy of science. How do you tell the difference between science and non-science? He labeled it the demarcation problem. And because of Einstein and the eclipse and showing the bending of starlight, Popper said, I've got it. Most people say science is about confirming theories. And he said, no, it's real easy to go out, make a measurement, and confirm theories. He says the difficult part is to come up with an idea that might falsify. So his idea was falsifiability. The way, according to Popper, that you can tell science from non-science, if you can come up with an experiment that could falsify a theory, that is science. If you cannot, that should not be considered science.
And an important thing to remember about the danger of unfalsifiable theories and what they really represent.
Well, that's right. And that's when, in the modern world, when we get into discussions of astrology, intelligent design, creationism and such, the scientific world will say those cannot be falsified. What you can't do is an experiment to reject any of those statements. Whereas in physics and astronomy and biology, the really key is the scientific theory falsifiable. And of course, the corollary to that that comes from Popper is that science is not definitive. There is no absolute truth in science.
So for you, John Dvorak, when you watch modern debates on intelligent design or something similar, for you, this goes back to 1919. This goes back to a total eclipse of the sun.
The whole roots with falsifiability and separating science from non-science, it's this inspiration that Popper got from Einstein and this total solar eclipse, May 1919.
Well, I won't call the eclipse experience religious because I'm not sure you would like that, but it's certainly maybe transcendent, John Dvorak. How many eclipses have you seen?
I've only seen two total solar eclipses, but both of them were spectacular. Even though I understand what's happening and I know what's going to take place, you still get this unsettling feeling inside. And I sort of describe it that when the sun goes out suddenly, it's that most primitive part of the brain we have, you know, the part which we share with the reptiles, that kicks in because so many unusual things are going on around you. And one of the very most basic things that I expect to be out there is the sun, and the sun just goes away.
Well, John Dvorak, you know, on the one hand, this eclipse we have on our hands is the most unremarkable, most predictable of all the celestial events. You know when it's going to happen. You know why and where. Like you said, when the sun goes out, it's far from a banal experience.
I've been waiting for this since I was 12 years old. I was in a library. I opened a book of astronomy, and I saw this eclipse path. And I was wondering, was I actually going to live long enough to see that? That was over 50 years ago.
Well, your moment is just about here, John Dvorak, and it is for all of us. And your book is out right on time, of course, Mask of the Sun, The Science, History, and Forgotten Lore of Eclipses. John Dvorak, thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'm spending the week next week in St. Louis with my two sisters and my 93-year-old mother. We've been planning this eclipse trip for the past 2 years.
I'm going to take a look at that eclipse. It'll probably be the last one for me.
I'm so excited.
Oh, we've heard from so many of you, young and old, excited for that eclipse. Have fun out there. Don't forget to protect your eyes. Get the right kind of certified glasses. They look like, old movie 3D glasses. We've got them for our trip already. One of my friends has collected a whole stack, and I'm going to be out there on Monday, too. Tell us all about it on Monday at 8778MyTake. You can always send your tweets from the moon shadow at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.